Good evening and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Center with me, Sanket Upadhyay. Two important stories that we are going to focus on. Story number one. We saw this play out exactly a decade later. We saw this, in fact, we see this playing out in diplomacy over and over again. This is called reciprocity. Now, what does this mean? This basically means that as a mark of protest, you do exactly what you think has been done by another country. So in that context, if you recall, 10 years ago, on the issue of Devyani Khobragade, we had a situation where security was reduced at the American embassy. 10 years later, security has been reduced at the UK High Commission in New Delhi. New Delhi is trying to send a message. But you know, the larger point over here is about how these Khalistani groups are operating with impunity in countries like the United Kingdom, in countries like Canada, and they also have operations in Australia. They're spreading their tentacles. And then you have a result like Amritpal Singh. So has the UK failed in controlling this menace on their soil? That's going to be discussion number one. Free run for Khalistanis in London. India hits back. Is UK soft on separatists? Also on the show, we're going to talk about New Delhi. Poster sprung up in the national capital which said, Desh bachao, Modi hatao. And then there were massive number of FIRs, almost 40 FIRs. And then later the Aam Aadmi Party is said to have owned up to those posters. But the point is, should this be read as a poster gone wrong? Because the police says that the reason why the FIR has taken place is because it does not mention who has got these posters printed. Or is this a case where the government is thin-skinned to criticism? That if you criticize Modi, then the police will step in. And the opposition says that there are many such examples that they can narrate. So discussion number two, FIRs, arrests over anti-Modi protests. What is the writing on the wall? Let's begin our discussion number one. Bhaskar Ghosh, leader of the BJP, in the studio with me. We also have Shruti Kapila, professor in the Faculty of History at the University of Cambridge. Adit Kothari, founding member of the Indic Society. Dr. Tara Kartha is the former director of the National Security Council Secretariat, and Brahma Chelani, strategic affairs expert. Thank you very much to all of you for joining us. I want to begin with you first, Mr. Brahma Chelani. How do you look at the events? First of all, in diplomacy, we know reciprocity exists. This is a tool which countries adopt. To what end? Maybe we can put that to a discussion. But does this not perhaps at least send a message to the United Kingdom? And I remember discussing this with you in the past also, on how checkered the history has been of the UK going soft on these separatist elements.
First, I don't think it'll send a message to the UK, because the same thing, as you pointed out, happened with the US embassy in New Delhi. And before long, the barricades came back. So removing the barricades in front of the UK High Commission in New Delhi is only for public show, to assuage public anger in India. The fact that the only thing India has done is to issue a protest statement. There was non-existent security in front of the Indian High Commission in London, which allowed the Khalistani militants to stage an attack. Here we're talking about downgrading security, not removing security, downgrading security. In the first place, why should there be barricades on a street? Streets should be open to the public. There should be no barricades. In no country have I seen an entire street blockaded with barricades. But there is a bigger issue, Sanket, which is that what happened on Sunday in London, the attack on the Indian High Commission, was not an isolated incident. There have been a series of attacks on Indian diplomats and Indian missions since at least 1977. An Indian diplomat was even murdered in Birmingham in February 1984. Ravindra Mahatre, was kidnapped while he was holding a cake for his daughter, birthday cake for his daughter, and then he was murdered. And then we've had a series of attacks on the Indian High Commission in London. So what happened on Sunday should not be seen as an isolated incident. The problem is that Britain has become a base, not only for Indian economic fugitives. Many billionaire fraudsters from India have taken refuge in the UK, but also the UK has become a base for separatist militants from India. That is the real issue. The issue is whether the government of India wants to do something concrete, because issuing statements after statements will not make
and
London
to that extent you feel that
action.
It's a futile effort removing barricades and issuing statements.
Well, absolutely. The showmanship is only for public consumption.
Okay.
What we need is that we need to tell the British government that until it begins to rein in the Khalistani and Kashmiri militants that are so active on its territory, that are engaged in anti-India activities and attacks on Indian missions and Indian diplomats,
sure,
that India-UK relations cannot be seen as business as usual. For example, Britain is desperate for FTA. Why not put the FTA negotiations on hold?
Yeah.
That's the minimum that India can
do. Correct. Shruti Kapila, how do you view these developments? You know, you've heard Mr. Brahmachelani, who very clearly says that United Kingdom is becoming some sort of a safe sanctuary for not just economic fugitives, but also people who are, you know, waging war against the country. They want a separate country to be carved out. And these are the same people who are not going to ask for portions of Pakistan to be part of Khalistan, despite the fact that there are many Sikh shrines and places of importance in Pakistan. Thus also bringing to the whole idea of the ISI involved here. How do you view this?
I think first and foremost, thank you for having me on the show. I think it's first and foremost to say that the UK-India relationship is going through a bit of a turbulent era, whether it's on the free trade, whether it's on immigration. And now with this issue, which is actually a long-standing issue, this is not happening today. And the same could be said about Canada and some other countries too. But I actually wanted to say something actually about Punjab, because not only because I grew up there, but I actually think that this kind of showmanship, as the previous commentator said, or even symbolics, is actually going to be quite dangerous play for India. And I think what is really required is substantive imagination and as it were, leadership on this issue. Because I think people should not forget that Punjab is not an ordinary state of India. It is, quite apart from being a border state, it is a post-conflict society. It's a hard-won peace in Punjab. And such gestures and symbolics might give you headlines, might get you a TV show, but they're actually rather dangerous for the repetition that is now setting in place. Because some of us who have grown up with militant era, all these episodes look like a total replay from the late 70s onwards. I was a kid then, but certainly in the 80s and 90s onwards. And I think that has to really become front and center in any discussion on this matter, rather than just it being separated and decontextualized and, well, you know, let's insult the British now that they have done this, allowed this to happen on their soil. Well, like, actually, you know, some Indian origin people have done this. And then there are also issues now how India deals with its OCI people, because I think there are many issues at play here. So it's not simply a matter of a barricade being taken away, or and that's what I'm trying to say, that symbolics is actually rather counterproductive, not just for diplomatic relations, but actually for what is actually at the heart of the problem, which is Punjab today again. And are we going to, you know, start looking at the abyss again, you know, having just had a very hard won peace there?
Okay. You know, let's for the moment focus on how do we handle this internationally with the United Kingdom. And Dr. Tara, do you feel that right now the steps that are being taken They seem to be in the ambit of what we can do. Do you feel that we need to broaden this ambit of what we can do to exert ourselves? Or might I add, be a little exacting?
See, in terms of the present incident, I mean, which is, if you remember, this is not just in the UK, it's happened elsewhere also. So it's a far broader landscape that you're looking at. And you need to know why it is this orchestration which has taken place. You need to focus on that. That is one. Number two is the fact, while I agree that you should not have barricades at all, I mean, I agree with Brahma when he says you shouldn't, why should you have barricades in front of embassies? But on the other hand, the removal is taken pretty seriously by countries who are very, very sensitive to their security. That's number two. Number three is the government has, I think, decided that the UK government is not anti-India or anything like that, but there is a systemic problem there in place which is not working towards which is sympathetic to these guys. I also refer you, there was a report from the UK government talking of the London Metropolitan Police saying that they are in shambles. You know, so there is a larger issue here. The question is, how far do you want to take this? Do you want to deal with the Khalistanis, their long-time problem? I mean, when they're talking about human rights and all the rest of it, let's remember that there was an attack on the army, you know, the General Brar, who led the Blue Star operation. That was in 2013. I would think for the UK, at that point of time, it shifted from being human rights, blah, blah, whatever it is that they call, to something which is very serious. And that is the point they should have taken action. The UK has a long history, not just with us, with a lot of countries, of sheltering all kinds of people and then using them for their own ends. That has to stop. That is where the UK is different and the others are different. The others, okay, San Francisco, elsewhere, you have a Canada as another one. You have a problem, but this, you cannot have an FTA and things with a country which shelters these guys. That is a problem.
I think this is the second time this issue has come up on why don't we become a little bit more exacting and exert ourselves and then deal with the United Kingdom rather than just removing, two or three barricades, which should not have been there in any case, as two of our panelists seem to be suggesting. Adit Kothari, you know, this point that Ms. Kapila was saying, obviously that dark phase of militancy in Punjab is a reminder for us on what not to do so that we don't end up going in that direction. But, the ground reports that we are getting, we've got reporters on the ground, commentators who are, they don't paint such a gloomy picture. To that extent, do you feel that we have been able to, I mean, obviously this arrest and all the action should have happened like yesterday, but it's not all that bad too. I mean, even now, a stitch in time will save nine. And then in that context, we should be dealing with countries like the United Kingdom and Canada for giving safe sanctuary.
Thanks, Ankit. From an India prism of things, I agree that, Punjab is a bit of a problem state and it needs to be manned in a slightly more different manner. But having said that, I come from Bengal and, Bengal is also a border state which suffered the fissures of partition and suffered the horrific violence that unleashed in 1947. And even after that, much after that. But there has been a system in place that has been able to deal with it, which has not been in Punjab. With Punjab, it needs to be a bit more educative and a bit more academic in nature to be able to deal with this particular problem. Coming from a UK perspective, yes, absolutely. The UK has become a complete cesspool and a hotbed for anti-India ecosystem. It's been let to breed unchallenged for the last 30, 40 years. I would say, right from the 1970s, when you had Jagjit Singh Chauhan, etc., living in the UK, you've had Kashmir Liberation Front terrorists living in the UK. Rabindranath Atreji was essentially abducted from Birmingham, murdered in cold blood. All of that has played out in the UK, but it's gone on for far too long. I think now the time has come that the Indian government needs to use its diplomacy to essentially say that, we're not going to bend backwards. We need to attach some sort of security concerns along with the FTA that's, looming over for the past year or so. And I think it's imperative that India takes very stern action against those OCI holders and the PIO card holders, which are sitting in the UK, but yet, dealing in anti-India sentiments or anti-India activities. So that particular aspect, I think we've failed very short on. And I think that needs to be dealt with a bit of a hard blow.
And obviously, there are a lot of allegations on how they have become a sort of a constituency that you speak in their favor or don't take action enjoy the, you know, the perks of them becoming a vote bank, and all those who by extension will also treat you as a vote bank. I'm talking about the United Kingdom. It's the same story. Politics, it's the same story everywhere. But Bhaskar Ghosh, all our panelists seem to be suggesting that removing of barricade alone may not achieve anything. It may make for great optics. It means nothing beyond that. How do you respond?
See, I was listening to all the panelists. Let me give you some more examples. Somebody mentioned that there was also similar kind of act in 2013. But that act was actually arrest of an diplomats, and that was a diplomatic act, and in protest of the diplomatic arrest. But now today the situation is more grave. Today, why the Khalistani is now doing the disturbance?
My question to you specifically was that do you think removal of two or three boulders and
I'm
barricades
coming to the point
in
a second.
What more does the Indian government have to do?
See, in the diplomatic code of conducts, whenever removal of barricades, removal of the PCR van, removal of the bunkers and the sandbags, all the security measures, that shows that this is not only one step. Another step, immediately British Deputy High Commissioner was summoned by the MEA, and MEA has given a strong statement and asked for explanations, not only here, but also in London. Now, some of my friend was talking about the Bengal. You see, the situation of Bengal is worse. Even over there, the minister is calling one place of Calcutta as a mini Pakistan. So that this India we are living that...
No, Mr. Bhaskar Ghosh, so one moment. Right now we are talking about what your policy is.
Punjab and Bengal have a similar
situation. You have brought
situations.
This back to domestic politics. I would like to draw your attention back to the
this
question.
This is a domestic...
The question
I say
is
why
that do you think that beyond removing a few barricades
it
and
is
security
a politics.
Apparatus,
Sanket, it is a politics.
You need to up the game?
It is the efficacy of a politics which has been played by the Aam Aadmi Party since it has owned the state of Punjab. Before that, the Khalistani was even you know that Prime Minister's own convoy was attacked. He was left unguarded for such a long time. And this is not a stray incident. This is an incident which has been started about a year back since the Punjab election was there. And after the election, I think it has been patronized by the elected government
there. You have
brought
in the Aam Aadmi Party, you have brought in the Trinamool Congress.
It is patronized by the Trinamool Congress, and
Mr.
the Firad
Ghosh,
Hakim is talking that it is a
Mr.
mini
Ghosh.
Pakistan.
Mr. Ghosh,
sentiment
drawing
of the
your attention
parties.
Back to my question.
This
the
is
question
the attitude
is,
of moment. Regional parties.
One moment. Mr. Ghosh, one moment. The question very specifically was that should we up the game diplomatically with
the
United Kingdom? You have brought in Aam Aadmi Party will not up the game, no,
there is
with
two,
the United
there,
Kingdom.
There is two faces of the entire game. The first is the reason. Or what is the root of the whole problem? The root is the politics or the pecuniary politics played
now,
by the regional parties.
Now, according to
and
you,
the effect is in London. And now the government,
so then what
see,
the
action
the
of the government.
Government do?
The government has taken all diplomatic measures. It has been immediately
by
summoned.
By removing two barricades.
No, even Deputy High Commissioner was summoned officially and asked for these explanations, even in London. And I'm really one more surprised, Sanket, I must mention, there is a police official in London called Nick, and he was really having a bhangra or kind of dance when this kind of agitation was going on. That means, what is the attitude of a London police over there?
Okay.
First of all, the police came quite late, and of that, a police official
is dancing. Brahma Chelani was saying, in any case,
this is the world we are living in.
Okay, fine. One more. Brahma Chelani, coming back to you, and I'm going to keep the focus restricted on what do we do beyond removal of the security apparatus, which you feel should not have existed on a public road in the first place. Let's start by you suggesting what can India do?
First, India-British relations are important for India. So we shouldn't do anything that would the relationship with London. Yet we need to send a clear message to London, because there have been a series of incidents that involve Indian diplomats or Indian missions in the UK. And it's high time that clear message was sent to the UK. And putting bilateral visits on hold would send the clear message to the UK. It's ironic that at a time when Britain is led by a prime minister who's of Indian origin, Britain's relations with India are taking a hit. This is unnecessary. In fact, Rishi Sunak's prime ministership should be an occasion for deepening India-UK ties. And I think deeper UK-India ties
are good for both countries. Point that you mentioned. Shruti Kapila, do you feel that this has become a sort of counterproductive for the India-UK relationship? The fact that we've got an Indian prime minister, a prime minister of Indian origin.
I wouldn't go that far, but it speaks to the point that you can't cherry pick. You can't say, well, these are the people we'll ally with and won't ally with. I think India does need clarity. The government needs clarity what its relationship is with the diaspora. For you know, under Nehru's time, there was not even any kind of OCI ship, you know, even after, you know. So now you have an OCI ship. I think now there's a kind of contradiction. You're appealing to the diaspora. You want investments back. And then you want to cherry pick. You feel very proud the day Sunak wins prime minister. But, you know, these are all Indian origin people. This is not who have done what they have done in the Indian High Commission. So that's one thing to say. Second is to that these are actually really toxic imperial, British imperial legacies. This is why partition comes up. This is why the border state comes up, because we are still kind of going through. And in fact, the empire has become a very important political hot topic, even in Britain today, how to deal with that legacy. And I just wanted to make a point that actually the Indian government has been supported by the British government. This is not to speak for the British government, but Operation Blue Star, of course, had, as we know, press reports said, you know, Margaret Thatcher's government had supported it. So I think these are very complex issues. These are not simply about what by doing, showing barricades here or there. You're actually, you know, you're just kind of raising the stakes without actually raising the stakes properly. You're just kind of adding aggravation when actually what you need is cool nerve to think through the problem in Punjab, but also to think through that fact that this is a diaspora with an Indian prime minister. I just want to make a final point on Bengal and Punjab. I'm very proud of the fact that Punjab has never had riots. It may have had a really strong militant state. And I think that's why it's a beacon actually for the rest of the country, including Bengal. And so I think that is something to be recognized, that this is a post-conflict society where people have really held their nerves. And it's actually the people in power and in the establishment who are not actually showing due leadership and due generosity to the situation. And I think one should be careful.
All right.
We cannot be. We cannot be playing with fire.
Absolutely. And to that, to this particular point, I would say it's not that complicated to understand that you cannot be playing with fire. And that should be also a message which India can put across to the United Kingdom or Canada or Australia, that you cannot be giving sanctuary to people who are waging war on this country.
Not sanctuary, they're citizens. And then the question is, are you going to have an international law on this when actually India has walked out of very many international human rights regimes? On what basis is this conversation going to take place is the question.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us on this discussion.